This afternoon, I just wanted to read from Colossians what was read already this morning. And then Brother Rus suddenly came in and said, "You will continue this afternoon." And I thought by myself, with Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9, no, with the subject of this morning. I'm grateful for such brothers who love the word of the Lord. And we who we can be of one spirit, we sometimes don't know how to appreciate this. Many times this does not exist anymore today. Where can you still find it? And therefore we want to thank God for it. If it must be, let me read a few scriptures. And I do it in view of that we take to heart what matters, namely our preparation. It is our preparation of what it is about, not about the knowing of how many comings of the Lord are, to what purpose, in which connection, when and where. If we would know all this and would not have ourselves the certainty to be ready when the Lord comes, what good is all the knowledge? Here should focus on that, as Paul said, that we on the day of Jesus Christ can stand our ground and appear before the Lord with joy, even though we sometimes sow with tears, but with joy we will then harvest on that day. The verses are well known to all of us, Acts 1, verse 11, and wherever it speaks of that the Lord will return. Let me read you a few scriptures from the book of Revelation. I have said it here already once. Maybe I even did it. Up to the book of Revelation 22, this is the last chapter, it speaks of the coming of the Lord. Although already in chapter 19, the marriage supper is described from verse 1 to 10, and then from verse 11 to the end, the battle of Armageddon, the last battle. And in Revelation 20, Satan will be bound and cast down, and then the millennium starts from 1 to 6. And then in verse 7, after the 1,000 years, Satan will be loosened, and then comes the battle of Gog and Magog, and then the holy camp is surrounded, and the holy city. And then from verse 11, the final judgment is described in Revelation 20. And then it says at the end, "This is the second death, namely the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And then it says in chapter 21, verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." And then we can read on. In verse 2 it says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And then, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, death will be no more," and so forth. Then we read in chapter 22, "Again things which will still take place before there will be a new heaven and a new earth." And it's so difficult for people who have not the key for this prophetic word to place it and to know where it belongs. Here we have in Revelation 22 from verse 1, It speaks of a river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. On both sides of the river, there are trees of life, and so forth. Then it says in verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. Earlier, when you noticed it, in Revelation 20, it doesn't say forever, but for 1,000 years. Did you notice it? 1,000 years. I read it to you. Revelation 20, verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Here then, it doesn't say anymore 1,000 years, but they will reign with him as kings forever and ever. Revelation 22, verse 5. But we are not dealing with this today, doctrinal. But today we deal with the term of the coming of the Lord. In Revelation 22, verse 7, it says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Yes, how often did he come in the meantime? Revelation 10, Revelation 14, he's shown on Mount Zion with the 144,000. How often is mentioned in between? I read it to you in Revelation 16, chapter 16, in verse 15 it says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And whoever reads on sees immediately that in the next verse the Hebrew word Armageddon is written. We see the most various connections and the same term of the coming of the Lord. When we take the church, then there are three main comings in terms of the church. And these Brother Branham emphasized in a sermon in a special way. He said the Lord came for the first time to redeem his church. He comes for the second time to take his redeemed church home to the marriage supper. And he comes for the third time with the redeemed church after the marriage supper to reign here on this earth for 1,000 years. These are three comings which mainly concern the church of the New Testament. But when we then read in between of all what comes there and will be, then we will see how necessary it is that things are not just said, but that they are placed biblically. This we will not do today. Don't you worry, for it could be that somebody thinks when he starts with that, then we are still here tonight. We would still be here tomorrow morning if we wanted to set forth all this in detail. But just look with me into the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Here it says, from verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple.
des Tempels aufmerksam zu machen. Er aber antwortete,
and Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Firstly, it's about one thing here, namely about the temple. But now comes the question in verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? This was question number one, namely with the temple, that no stone we left upon the other. Question one. Then, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Three questions. And these three questions were also answered. We all know the temple was destroyed 70 after Christ. And now it's only about the question, what shall be the sign of thy coming? So it's about the coming and the sign that precedes the coming. What is the characteristic sign at the return or before the return of Jesus Christ? This is the big question. And then come here the admonitions which the Lord has given. He firstly said, there will be wars and rumors of wars. I read Matthew 24, verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And I have said it already in some of my speeches. Here, the end time is introduced with wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilences, famines. These are the birth pains which come upon the earth. Birth pains. The word birth pains is written here. When do birth pains set in? When something shall be born, then the birth pains set in. And here, it speaks of birth pains. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The birth pains set in, the labor pains set in. But this is not yet the end. How grateful we can be that Paul, as a prophet with a divine overall view, anointed with the Holy Spirit, he looked to the end of the end time, not only to the beginning, but to the end. Christ our Lord described the beginning of the end time by saying, nation will rise against nation, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, and so forth. But to us matters, what is the sign of thy coming or return? I like it as Paul said it. More accurate, he could not have said it. It is written, as we all know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. You see, travail. As travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Our Lord said, This is the beginning of sorrows. And Paul doesn't write anymore of wars and rumors of wars. and of all the things that would be and that were already. He writes, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Tell me, are you really grateful for it, that God has shown us also these connections? Of wars and rumors of wars, all can speak. And listen what is written in verse 4, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. For ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Why are we not in darkness? Our Lord said, he who follows me shall not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. And Peter said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy that shines unto us as a bright light in a dark place. What was it? God illuminated unto us the word of prophecy, and it shines in darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. They did not comprehend it until this day, and will not comprehend it. But he who comes to the Lord and who follows him, not only saying, I believe in him, but to follow him, he who walks with him on the way until the end from clarity to clarity. To follow means to go as far as he goes, we also have to go. How many people stopped and have taken a rest? And here I think on that man in the days of Elijah, when he said to his friend, remain now here. He didn't listen at all. It didn't concern him. He wanted to go with him until the end. When he said to him, remain here in Bethel or remain there, no way. He said, as true as God lives, I don't remain here. A prophet said this to him, remain here. And he said to the prophet, I don't remain, I go with. What was in his heart? He didn't just get a mantle thrown over him. It was not just an outward mantle that he wore. It was God's revelation in his heart. He was inwardly touched. He could not take a rest. He had to go with God, with his prophet, with that what God did at that time. And the same applies to all of us. We could have been told, you will stop here now. This is just impossible. When the Lord arises, then we go with him. But this I want to tell you, but all the sons of the prophets, they remained where they were. You could have asked them, please come with me. They would have remained there where they are. They had also the revelation. They said, don't you know that the Lord will take your, how is it written there, your master, he will be taken away. And he said, yes, I know it. Be still. I know it. But they remained where they were. But he didn't remain where they were. Not he. Not he. He went on. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's how it is with us. Some say we shall remain here or there. No. For this we are not destined. We walk with the Lord until the end. Also now there are many who know of the rapture. They say, yes, here it is so. No, we walk on with the Lord because we were seized by him. Let us come back to Matthew 24 very quickly and then also 25. In Matthew 24 and 25, we read a couple of times of the coming of the Lord and every time in a different connection. I would like just briefly read in chapter 24, verse 27. Matthew 24, 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. As the lightning comes and shines, so it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. And then comes the tribulation, as it has never been on earth. It's written in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Two comings, two totally different comings. The one coming as a lightning to take his own home, and then the sun turns into darkness and the moon into blood. And what is this? That's already the sixth seal. Already the beginning of the day of the Lord, where the powers will be shaken, and so forth. And when then the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven, then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, terribly mourn, when the Lord comes as bridegroom to take his own home. Then the people will rejoice that they are gone. No one will mourn. Some may probably weep for us. At least I hope we were worth that much to them. But there will be no mourning on earth. When will this be? I read it to you. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it is written. And it's a parallel scripture to the prophet Zechariah. Revelation chapter 1, 7 and 8. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see him, and they also who pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. This is not the coming for the rapture, this we all know. For this we don't need a special teaching. This is a totally different coming. Here he comes, as written, I am Alpha and Omega, saith the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Their all knees will tremble, they will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. This will also be a day on which I will rejoice in a special way. When the whole world, our Redeemer, whom they despised so much. And you see now, it was written in the newspapers. I had no time to read it. I just heard of it. How the virgin birth of our Lord is so vilified. And how they want to rob him of his divine begetting. Classifying him as a human. Oh, this hurts. This hurts very much. This is painful. But when that day comes, on which our Lord receives the glory that becometh to him, then we will all rejoice and jubilate. Rejoicing, he who was despised by the people, shunned, thrown to and fro, the religious builders of our time, they throw him wherever they like, and at the end he doesn't fit anywhere, and they find no room for him. Mary holds him as a baby in her arm, and they put him where they like. But the day comes where he will put the things where they belong. And this is the day of which we read here. You see, when he will come to take his beloved bride home, then he comes as bridegroom, and we meet him in the air, and are taken up together with him into the mansions, as we read this morning, to then be with the Lord at all times. But when he then comes and will clean up Then he comes, as written here, in Matthew 24:30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You can all read it in Zechariah 12, verse 10. They will look on me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. Another coming. Matthew 25, from verse 1, well known to all of us. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. All of us, we know this word. And then it says so nicely, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So here it is about the marriage supper. And when it's about the marriage supper, then it's about bride and bridegroom. Although the term virgins is used here, this means undefiled, untouched, holy, holy to the Lord. And such a church he will have at the end, not touched by any man. As Mary could say, I know of no man. So the bride church can say, I know of no man. I know only one. And this is he who overshadowed me with his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. And why? Because we have heard the word of the hour, the word of divine promise. In the past weeks, I heard a man in London who over and again says of himself, I am God's prophet, the prophet of God of this hour. And he said some things. My heart was in pain to hear all this. A man of God of this hour must have the word of God of this hour. Otherwise, he's not a man of God. Where was a man of God without that God could speak and work through him? We have many who say they are men of God and don't even know who God is. They don't know it. He asked the people to thank all three of them. First with the Father, then with the Son, and then to thank the Holy Spirit. And this is then God's man of the hour. No, not like this. Not like this. Our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He remains the same forever. He can reveal himself as he likes, but he forever remains the same. There is no other beside him. When we think here on our beloved brother Branham, who had to bear the reproach of Christ, and all the others are celebrated. But one day the change comes. Then comes the great change. Those who bore the reproach will then rule with the Lord. And those who were celebrated here, they will then wail and lament and say, why didn't we? Why didn't we? Everyone gets his opportunity. So here, Matthew 25, it speaks, I read verse 10. And while they went to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Amen. Amen. This is his coming for the marriage supper. You see how many different comings there are? I read you still another coming. It is terrible that I read various Bibles too often and don't know whether it's on the left or right side. But I always find it. Don't you worry. Matthew 25, verse 31 and 32. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Again, another coming. This is not a coming as bridegroom. Then he comes and sits upon the throne of his glory, and all the angels with him, and then he will judge the nations. You see, we could continue with the different comings of the Lord, which are reported to us in the Holy Scripture. Everything at its time, in the right context. Brother Branham said, when the bride celebrates the marriage supper, then the Lord will slip down. He uses the word which I don't like so much, slipping down, and he will reveal himself to his brothers, the 144,000. There are so many different things, as you see in the Word of God. We will write about it. Blessed is the man who finds his place in the church of the living God, who is placed into the body of the Lord. People who can submit to God and His Word. Right at the end, there will be a divine order. It doesn't mean that I have to submit to you or you to me, but it means that we all have to face God, that we have to submit to His Word with all reverence and respect, so that He can come to His right with us and with that what He wants to complete. And we believe that He will succeed. He is God. He decides over everything. Nothing can resist Him. He says, "My counsel shall stand. What I purposed, this I will do." That's how He said it through the prophet Isaiah. And that's how it will be. Revelation 10, we read, 1 Thessalonians 4, from verse 13, we all know, 1 Corinthians 15, we also know, these are all connections with the coming of the Lord, to take His own home, as mentioned already today. 1 Corinthians 15, here it is written in verse 43, "It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. You can all read on, we dealt with this many times. Now verse 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." This is then no doctrine anymore. This is then reality. That will then have happened. And it is written in verse 54, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Then nobody will be buried anymore, this I promise you. Then we don't go to the cemetery anymore. Then those who were on the cemetery, then they are not put down, then they will come out. For thus it is written here, "Then the word that is written shall be fulfilled." There was a man, his name we will not mention, but he wrote after the passing of Brother Branham, by the way, a man who was much loved, a fine Bible teacher, who wrote many articles about Brother Branham in love and with high reverence. And then suddenly he wrote an article that something was revealed to him which the apostles and prophets didn't know. And even to Brother Branham it remained hidden, namely that now the time has come in which the believers don't need to die anymore and no funeral will take place anymore. And when the time then was so far, it took just a few years. And then this man was buried. Then this man was buried. He had a revelation that all the prophets didn't have, and all the apostles didn't have, Brother Branham didn't have, and then he was buried together with this revelation. No, what we need is divine clarity in all things, everything at its time. Not to take the mouth full, letting God work in the context into which it belongs. When this happens, the word will be fulfilled. Oh, I like this. When it is written, then it will be fulfilled. This word fulfilled, this rejoices my heart. God watches over his word, so that no scripture is broken. All scripture must be fulfilled from A to Z. Every word of God will take place as the holy mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And here people may say, how shall the dead rise? With what body shall they appear? And then the Apostle Paul used the word fool. He says, you fool. Yes, it had to be said once. Thou fool. You can read it. No, such questions we don't have to ask at all. God speaks and it is here. When he says, all who belong to me, come now please out. Then they are all there. Then no one is missing. Then no one is missing. And then somebody may say, huh, in the sea or eaten by lions? That's not the question. The spoken word of our Lord will find all the 16 elements and bring them together, and all the men and women will be there complete, and nothing will be missing on that day. And then will be fulfilled, death is swallowed up. Right now, death is still among mankind. And us, who we get older, and who we feel sometimes that we get older, I want to comfort you. I have to smile a bit now. But there are two kinds of believers also in this regard. Some cope a bit better with their fate, the others not so good. I knew somebody who complained all his life, and he was not doing as badly as he complained, but it was his habit. He complained out of habit, day in, day out. When somebody asked him, how are you? Oh, not so good. And it was always like this. It was a custom. He was actually very well. We were grateful for that. But what I want to say is the following. There are believers who complain when bodily it's getting a bit bad. In the recent days, a precious thought came to me. We believe in the translation. And I want to say to all of us who we feel that we get older, receive this thought into you, that not long from now you will be young. You will be young, without any affliction, young. Don't complain about your age. Just think that shortly you will be young, and you will cope better with aging, and you can bear it better with the joy which is in your heart, that very soon we will be young. I read it here somewhere in the Bible. But to our brethren who didn't attend any funeral, to them I read this, that they know that it's written in the Bible that God will transfer us back into our youth. I say this once again. All who heard me already at a funeral service, they know it. On and then I read it. It is written in Job, chapter 33. Job 33, one of the most wonderful chapters in the 42 chapters of Job. Here the following is written. I read for the context's sake from verse, yes, one has to read from verse 23, because the context requires it. Job 33, from verse 23. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. Amen. Praise God. Job knew that his Redeemer lives. We also know it. And he got it revealed that the redeemed return to the days of their youth. Praise be to our Lord. I hope no one will doubt this, because it will happen anyhow, but not on them who doubt it. And therefore it is necessary that we believe. To believe as the scripture says, it was one among a thousand. He is the most beautiful among a thousand. He the lily of the valley. He the bright morning star. He has found a ransom and said, deliver him, for I redeemed him. And his flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. Amen. I did not read from a magazine, but from the holy word of God. Thanks be to our Lord. The living God renders unto man who accepted the atonement God's righteousness. This we may believe and experience. And of such a man it is written then in verse 27, he sings before the people and confesses, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. He redeemed my life from going down to the pit, and my life shall see the light. About light we spoke already. We are not in darkness, but we have seen the light. It has become light at evening time. Let us also today thank our God with all our heart. I don't know whether we understand what actually happened with us. From thousands, from millions, we have been called out, chosen to in these days be gathered in the presence of God, hearing his word. Nobody shall regret to make a long journey to hear the word. The picture will change. Those will regret who stayed near and did not come. They will one day have much to regret. You, who you have come, coming under all circumstances to hear the word, you will have to regret nothing. You will rejoice. But those who could have come and didn't come, they will have to regret some things. May the living God continue to be gracious to all of us, keeping us humble in his presence, yes, in his grace, in his word, in his love, keeping us, and be with all of us. Amen. Let us thank together, worshipping. If some want to thank loud, we all pray with you. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, faithful Lord, that you speak with us in such a way, not in parables, but from face to face, in full clarity and truth. You speak to your people as never before. Hallelujah. Praise and honor be to your wonderful name. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. You are King, Priest, and Prophet. Hallelujah. Advocate, Mediator, Redeemer. You are all in all, O Lord. Faithful God, may you move all the hearts. May you touch every lip, O Lord. letting thankfulness come forth, thankfulness toward you and for that what you have done. Hallelujah. Thanks be to you for the revelation of your word. Thanks be to you for the sending of your servant and prophet. Thank you for the end time message. Thank you for the light and clarity. Thanks be to you for everything, O Lord. For the redemption through the blood. For the word and the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my God, kindle a thankfulness, a fiery thankfulness. Faithful Lord, a worship in the spirit. Hallelujah. Praise be to you, the living God. Manifest yourself in a living way, in a sensible way, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the people, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And all the people say, Amen. Praise God. Glory to the Lord. For wonderful things he has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faithful Lord, all the earth shall be full of your glory. Your true testimony shall be carried unto the ends of the earth, and all the people shall see the glory of God. Faithful Lord, we pray for all brothers and sisters who are afflicted, who lie down sick, who are attacked. Faithful God, be nigh to them in the affliction. Lord, help them, pull them out, help them. Faithful God, save the lost, deliver the captives, heal the sick, confirm thy word, glorify thy name, and baptize with spirit and fire, hallelujah, to your wonderful name. Come with your anointing upon your people. Oh, we thank you, and we praise you. Begin your triumph of victory. Hallelujah. With all might. As in the days of Gideon. In the days of Joshua, Lord. That you break through the wall. Like water breaks through a dam. And so that you can give a mighty breakthrough. By grace. Giving a breakthrough of God. Hallelujah. That you can give the times of refreshing. Oh, faithful God, thank you so much. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise be to our God. Praise God.